Hello and welcome to the TSW Toy Box. This is episode zero. I'm your host, Rob, and I'm joined by Jeremy.
Hi.
And making his podcasting debut in a move that I'm very pleased about, Mark.
Hello there.
Hello. So Mark, for those who aren't familiar, is the Mark behind, one of the two geniuses behind Blue Harvest Vintage, who's obviously, if you listen to TSW, you've heard us mention Blue Harvest many times. Favourites of the show. I'm fairly sure most of the cast have ordered something at some point from Blue Harvest. I certainly have.
Not enough.
I definitely have.
Not enough, sorry. I do my best, I try, but space concerns, unfortunately. It's dead annoying.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah, I think it's most people's problem. So,
I'm lucky. I've got three man caves. I'm all right.
You've got three man caves?
I have.
I want to hear more about this.
You shall.
Oh, yeah, please, yeah, by all means. So we'll come to this. So the premise of this show is we've brought together two of the most knowledgeable people within the Talk Star Wars family when it comes to toys and collections. So the idea is that this is a show kind of devoted to celebration of accumulation of wares. So, Jeremy, let's start with yourself.
Hi.
Tell us a bit about your kind of collection.
Well, I've, being the age that I am, had all the original figures many years ago, and also being the age I am, I've had many failed relationships. So over the years, the figures have been dispersed to ladies who've probably thrown them away or put them in a boot fair or something. But in a conversation with Rob and Mark last year,
last year. I've only been part of TSW for just over a year.
Yeah, so last year I was talking about in my shop redecorating the bathroom, and Rob happened to say, "What you want on the toilet is a Admiral Akbar sticker saying it's crap." And I thought, "All right, that's a good idea." And then I was on eBay looking for them. And then I saw a poster of the vintage Star Wars figure range. And I thought, oh, well, I'll order that. It's £2. I'll stick it on the wall or something. And then when I was on eBay, you get that kind of annoying eBay addiction where you just click on something and click on something. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this bundle of figures. And I thought, they look like five figures. And I thought, oh, that'd be fun. What I'll do is I'll just get buy them figures, and I'll just stick them around somewhere, and it'll be a little fun thing to do. And then the poster came through, the sticker came through, which took me a year to put on, but the poster came through, and I opened this poster up, and at the bottom were all these figures that I'd never seen before. And I thought that I was a real Star Wars collecting nerd from when I was younger, and there were loads that I'd never seen. And the geek in me, I suppose, wanted to find out what these figures were. So I looked into the Last 17, which I found are fairly rare and very expensive, but wonderful figures. They're incredible. And then it kind of spiraled. My figures came through, and I thought, well, they're pretty. I might get a few more. And one day I've got my own shop, and there was a rep came in, and I was talking to him about the Star Wars thing, and he's a bit of a Star Wars fan. And I said, yeah, have a look on eBay. I said, look at this set here. And there was a set of, it had 52 figures. It had vintage Darth Vader TIE Fighter. It had a vintage normal TIE Fighter. It had a Scout Walker and all kinds of different things. And I said, look, if you just bid on this, look how much it will go up. And I bid 150 quid just so he could see, and I won it, and I didn't expect I didn't pay that much for it, because obviously Claire will probably listen, I promise you, I didn't pay that much for it, but I won it. And all of a week later, I got 50-odd figures, and and I've forgotten how wonderful they are. They're incredible things to look at. I think the simplicity of them over the modern figures, because the modern figures actually look like the actors, and you know, big head Han Solo looks nothing like Harrison Ford. But I then unpacked this down. I think I put a video up of me unpacking the box, And I'd just become addicted to it. It was like plastic heroin. I just have to keep looking at it. And I wanted, you know, I'd stick with the vintage because they can't bring out any more. And when if you start collecting modern stuff, there's always going to be new stuff and it's going to cost you a fortune and you're going to run out of room really quickly. So I stuck with the vintage ones, but I've got, and it's kind of snowballed. I looked into the last 17 and I've got a few of them, and I mean, you know, because they're the fairly rare ones. I'm not going to collect the card figured or the box figures or anything like that because they're really expensive and I've got to be realistic about, you know, what I can run past the missing without losing the next lot of figures.
Yeah.
So, and I also like the fact that if you've got betas, because they're called betas, and Mark has put things on the TSW website, which is a brilliant read, about betas and all the different figures you get. I like the figures that have been played with, because then they're an actual toy. I know it's a bit like Toy Story, but then they're an actual toy. And the ones in the box, I don't feel they haven't had an adventure yet.
Okay.
I like the ones that have shot a few people.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for that.
And it's kind of snowballed from there. And then I've realised I'd inadvertently, over the years, since my last breakup, collected a few other things, and they've got some random other things kind of shoved in there as well.
Mm, nice. Okay. But Star Wars, you'd say, probably is your primary collection.
Oh, just random Star Wars things I've got. I'm a film fanatic. I've got hundreds of DVDs, and Matt Keegan has got me into the artwork as well. I've been looking at some of the artwork of the posters as well, and that's my next fixation. The artwork of some of the posters is incredible.
Okay, nice. So that's another collection on the horizon, I guess.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, and that's Mark, the Rogue One posters.
Well, quite so. All right, cool. So, Mark, let's turn to you. So you are the proprietor, or one of the two proprietors, of Blue Harvest Vintage. You are based in Leeds, correct? Yourself?
Yes.
Yes.
A bit of diversity, but yeah.
Yeah, but absolutely, yeah. We're all southern boys otherwise. Everybody's kind of south of the M25, as I recall. So how long has Blue Harvest been in business?
About 3 years.
Okay.
It was just an experiment, really, to be in a shop. We'd been online ever since 2014.
Okay. So you've been so you've been trading since 2014. You're now trading exclusively online at the moment, right?
Yes. Okay. We are.
Cool.
eBay, it's Facebook page, Twitter. And anybody wants to contact us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can certainly vouch for that being a painless service, because I got my Director Krennic Funko Pop from your good selves, and I'm very happy to have that. So
I've got him as well.
Yeah.
He's lovely.
It has to be done, doesn't it? I think so. So, Mark, with Blue Harvest, you said it was an experiment. So were you a collector before that point?
I've been a collector since 1978.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
I got the first Marvel comic, and about 6 months later, when the figures came out, I got Darth Vader with my pocket money.
Yeah. So Darth Vader was the one with the little kind of lightsaber that came out of the sleeve.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I know the one.
I still remember taking that home.
Yeah.
opening the box.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I collected most of the 96 until 85, 84, okay. 85, when I sold my collection for 18 figures, believe it or not.
18 figures?
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, you know, taste change, that's fair enough.
The A-team. I'm an A-team fan as well.
By no means are you going to hear me diss them either. I know the guys over at Generation X-Wing are big fans as well. They did a whole episode just about the A-team, and it was absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Yeah, so you've been a collector for that amount of time, and has it kind of been consistent throughout that period, or has it been ebbed and flowed?
Up and down. I've just started a new loose run.
Okay.
So I've got most of the first 12. I can hit Princess Leia.
Okay.
Obviously, as you said, the last 17 are quite expensive, so
yes.
I've got a couple of those. So I am trying to get that run together again.
Cool, okay.
Back myself instead of the shop, which is good.
Yeah, so where's the life-size... The life-size Darth Vader was in the brick-and-mortar, right?
It was in the shop, but now it's in my living room.
I can think of worse things to have, you know? That's not a bad problem to have, I would say.
Debbie loves it.
Yeah, I'll bet. So is Debbie a collector as well?
Funkos.
Funkos, okay. That's fine. And
Big Bang Theory Funkos.
Okay. So Funkos are her primary thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, they are. Cool.
She likes Yoda. She's got a few Yoda figures.
Nice. So, as in different types of figures beyond Funkos. Okay, nice. That sounds like a pretty decent collection, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So the shop kind of, did that originate out of your collection, or was that...
It did. I've also dreamed of having a shop, a toy shop, but obviously it was a collection. People called it the Star Wars shop, even though it was all vintage toys.
Yeah.
But 90% Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So it was called the Star Wars shop.
Nice. Okay. Excellent.
It stemmed from my collection.
That's kind of nice, though, in a way. That's almost like quite a romantic story. So you start off this collection, and then this builds into this business that you now... What's the word for being a proprietor of? I don't know. There's probably a really tidy, fancy-sounding word for it, but... for which you are the proprietor works. So you've been trading for 3 years. So you would have... That would have been kind of quite... That was even before the Lucasfilm acquisition, wasn't it? Maybe not. Maybe around that time, but...
I think it was 2012, wasn't it?
Might well have been, actually. I'm showing my ignorance here. Just, it's been a while. My memory is not what it once was.
I think it stemmed from my divorce in 2012, to be honest with you.
Oh, fair enough. Was that related to the Disney acquisition?
That was a good year, that was. I had one of them.
Apparently so. Why is it? You know, 2012 was a good year for me as well, really. So, you know, we're kind of coming to a consensus on this. I like that.
Yeah.
I haven't got a divorce to speak of. Not wood. But I did have to deal with some particularly troubling relationship stuff in that year. So, you know, we're all united by that common thread, which is lovely.
And I went to the Olympics. That was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, okay. I can imagine that was good. I was working... I just started working in London when they finished, I think, so I didn't really get a chance to really drink those in. Just hearing people mention how much easier it was to get around, how much easier it was to find space on the tube, things like that.
Yeah.
Cool. No. Okay. So we've heard from you've heard about your collections and your kind of stuff, so what we'll do is we'll cut to a quick break to talk about the TSW VIP program, which, for those listening on the feed, is how you can get these episodes much earlier. And when we come back, we'll chat a bit about the TSW Toy Box.
If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, you can do so by becoming a TSW sponsor. For as little as £1 per month, given securely via PayPal, you can help us keep the lights on here at TSW. When you become a TSW sponsor, we will elevate you to VIP status. As a TSW VIP, you'll get access to an exclusive stream that provides you with fun downloads like HD wallpapers for your desktop, tablet, and mobile device, ringtones and text alerts courtesy of our very own Audio Jedi at Rob Wade Vision. You'll also receive a monthly newsletter with news about what's going on here at Talk Star Wars, and you'll get a priority release of the new Star Wars audio commentary series called TSW Feature Comms. All this as little as £1 per month. Head to talkstarwars.co.uk/support and become a TSW sponsor today, and the Force will be with you always.
And we're back. So as you've just heard, you can become a TSW VIP by visiting talkstarwars.co.uk/support, which means that you get episodes like this much, much earlier. So, guys, the TSW Toy Box... What's it all about, Alfie?
Did you get Alfie in it as well, then?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, he'll be on at some point.
He's been pretty quiet at the moment.
He's tricky to nail down. Well, he's always busy man.
I think it's about the love of vintage Star Wars figures.
Yeah? Okay, exactly. Great. That sounds... I'm fine with this. I'm just trying to nail it down. Because, you know, it's good for, you know, in an episode like this, which is our... our debut kind of recording to introduce the premise. It's good to have an elevator pitch. So the love of Star Wars toys is probably the best one we can pitch, really.
I think it all stems from the feeling we get. It takes us back to when we were young.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, I had the obviously I'm a little bit younger, but I had the Power of the Force Kenner ones in the late 90s with, you know, extra steroid action.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All henchers all hell.
They were terrible.
They were enormous.
They were bigger than me.
Yeah. Luke Skywalker looked like all that Tatooine had was a gym.
Yeah, but that's what I love about the vintage one, the simplicity of them, about toys.
Yeah.
The modern, I'll talk to Claire earlier about it because she doesn't understand. And if I think people listen to this, if you're not into it and you're like, well, I love Claire, and she's going, I don't know why you collect old toys. I said, they're not the vintage. And she's like, oh, they're just toys.
Yeah.
I think hopefully people will understand why we're so passionate about it, why we feel that. It's not, I don't think it's just a nostalgia thing either, because the nostalgia is a wonderful thing.
Mm.
But I think that, you know, these things are 40 years old. You know, you're holding a piece of history in your hand, and it's no different to any other, you know, antique. It's not 200 years old, but, you know, it's an important part of history. These were the toys that made the film toy tie-in really come to life. And before that, there was never really that kind of thing. And others tried it. I had Black Hole figures. I had Battlestar Galactica figures, Star Trek figures. 18 figure, but none of them were Star Wars.
Mm. Mark, what about you? From where does this kind of? I mean, I'll give the listeners a bit of background. So, this was an idea that was kind of floated behind the scenes between us on Twitter, and you guys were both, you know, you both kind of tore my hands off, metaphorically speaking, to get involved. What was it for that kind of drew it in for you?
As you know, I write the blog.
You do indeed. They're fantastic stuff.
Each vintage figure, and hopefully I'll get to the end of 96. But I don't know. It's just like I say, it's the feeling of being young again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a bit of nostalgia and a bit of stuff like that involved.
See, the modern figures, as I said, they're intricate and they are beautiful. Beautifully sculptured things to look at, and they're incredible. But I love the simplicity of the original ones.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they, you know, they don't look like anything like what they're supposed to look like, and they're a bit ropey, and most of them, you know, unless you've got a carded one, the paint's chipped off, and the nose is missing, and things like that. But it's that lends a story to them.
Definitely. I like the Black Series.
Oh, nice.
I try and get them signed.
Okay. How are you getting on with that? How many have you managed?
I've got Princess Leia's. I've got Carrie Fisher's.
Hey.
Excellent.
Anthony Daniels.
Nice.
Kenny Baker. Peter Mayhew. Jeremy Bullock, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And David Prowse, because they're the two easiest to get. But I've got Paul Blake's as well.
Okay, nice.
He's such a nice man.
I think the advantage of this show is we will probably end up touching on a few nice stories around these things as well, just because of the nature of what we're talking about. And obviously, like you say, Mark, you've got the convention circuit stuff where you interact with the people who these figures are modelled on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I bet you've got a few of those stories to perhaps regale us with on a future episode.
Well, the last Star Wars, you know, the celebration up London, we're all, you know, a lot of the guys were up there, I was there up there as well, and it's just incredible to see, you know, Warwick Davis was there interviewing them people, and BB-8 was on the stage, and it's, you know, it's great. Yeah, and you kind of think, you know, you can see these people, and it's a wonderful way of feeling a connection with them. Yeah. You know, the conventions are brilliant for things like that, and I really enjoy them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, I've been to a couple of conventions. I think it helps to be interested in the subject matter for that stuff as well. Because I've been to conventions as a plus one where I'm not really that interested in what's been, you know, what the convention's about. And it really, you feel incredibly out of place.
Well, I did the Comic-Con up London. I did, and there was so much manga that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like I was a bit of a fraud. I felt like I shouldn't have been there. Because there's all these, you know, the cosplay is amazing. I loved it. I've done the cosplay myself. And there's,
yeah.
But it's when there's people on the ground, you're going, absolutely no idea who you're supposed to be. You look awesome, but no idea who you are.
I feel the pain, buddy. I do.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Yeah.
That's
all right. My usual feeling at Comic-Cons is, these people look awesome. I really didn't put the effort in here.
I've only done the cosplay once, and I did it as Jason Voorhees because,
yes,
you know,
I remember that picture.
I kind of have to be because I'm the stature of Jason Voorhees, and I'm right there. So, you know, I'm not going to get away with being an Ewok or anything like that.
Yeah,
and nor are you, Rob. No matter how you like.
This is true. I'm unlikely to ever get in an Ewok outfit just because I don't think they make them in my size.
No, they do, but they're called Wookiees.
Yeah, true, true. So, Mark, did you make it down to Celebration last year?
I did, yes.
You did?
Yeah, all 3 days, yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was good. I didn't have a chance to attend, unfortunately. I hijacked the Tumbling Saber podcast instead. But which is great in its own way, and I plan to do the same thing again this year when Mark's in Orlando.
Right.
I plan on doing
the
same thing.
He's going on his own, isn't he?
He is going on his own, yeah.
Oh, my word.
He's big boys all grown up. Yeah, so, Mark, do you do the convention circuit much, aside from Celebration?
Not as much as I did. I used to. I went to Sheffield, Scarborough last year.
Okay.
I think it's because of two more toy fairs, to be honest with you.
Oh, I can imagine they're fun, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's none around here, are there, Mark? Rob, sorry, I'm getting confused.
Not really. Oh. No, I suppose not. I mean, there's, you know, I've been to gaming markets and I've been to conventions and stuff, but there's not really, I think you're right, there's not really a lot of toy fair stuff around this way. Maybe we should head up to Leeds, Jeremy. Maybe that's the trick.
The only one that, or the only convention kind of thing is in Herne Bay. There's one called Sci-Fi by the Sea, which is brilliant.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
And I've been a few times, and it you know, travelling up to London can be a bit of a bind. But travelling to Herne Bay from kind of our local area is easy, and it's always really good. And there's always stalls and stalls and stalls of collectible things that aren't London priced.
Yeah, that
because,
helps a lot.
You know, that there was, I remember seeing a cardboard Death Star up at the Celebration, which was $9.99 from Woolworths when it first came out, because they had one.
Yeah.
But it was £5,000. And you just think, it's, you know, £5,000 for that. Whereas, and all of the figures were the prices were hyped up because you were up at, you know, the Star Wars Celebration. I suppose yeah. You'd go, I bought this from there.
And but it was £3,000 a table.
Yeah.
Really?
Blimey.
Yeah.
Well, as in, if you wanted to sell, for example.
Yeah. Right. I looked into it myself and no, you're all right.
Like, yeah, I'd say Herne Bay's probably £25 and a donut. It's not that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, Mark, do you go to toy fairs as a seller as well as a buyer, or do you do a bit of both?
Occasionally, I have done. They tend to keep their hands in their pockets.
Yeah.
To the collectors at these the toy fairs, especially in Bolton.
Bolton bad for that, then, okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I've never been, but
pocket short hands.
Have you ever had a figure that you thought, oh, this is great, and then you've really not wanted to sell it? Because that's what would terrify me. Someone going, oh, I'll buy that off you, and I think, actually, no, I want to keep that.
Everything that went out of the shop, I'd go, oh, no.
Yeah.
And
I
a circle
of black it would be awful. I would think, well, until I've got my own copy of it, you can't have it.
I usually buy two.
Yeah. Get at least one in for yourself and then everything else. So is it kind of generally hard to part with stuff when your shop deals in that kind of stuff?
It is. Yeah. It is. I had a customer come down from Newcastle and he bought a boxed Slave One and a boxed AT-AT.
Oh.
Walked away with them.
Oh,
it's a good deal for him as well, and he walked away. Oh,
Get a little tear in your eye, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I've given things away to other collectors. If I've got more than one of something, recently I gave a listener something. He sent me a spreadsheet, so I noticed something was missing off his spreadsheet I'd spare of, mm-hmm. and I sent him that, because I couldn't bring myself to sell it because it's a spare one anyway, and I just like helping other people. Please don't write in and say I need this, that and the other, because I have one spare thing, and that was it.
No, that's fair enough.
It's hard, isn't it? I like to help other people get on, you know. I mean, Blue Harvest has been brilliant. They've sent me all sorts of things, you know. I think there is quite a nice community, as long as you haven't got too many. There are a few snobs out there, I think, that would frown upon my beatings.
It's a fandom. Of course there are.
You know, my poor old beaten up Han Solo in Carbonite, which most people would go, oh, it's awful, but I think he's my last 17, and the kid who had that at some point, I know that Boosh come to rescue him, and, you know, he's had a bit of a life.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's like my pop-up lightsaber R2-D2 that came to Cyprus with us.
Oh, you sent me the pictures.
Nice.
I saw the pictures of R2-D2 on holiday.
Never sell him. Never.
No, fair enough. That seems reasonable, I think. You know, you got to keep the stuff. There's got to be stuff that's off limits. Like, I mean, I don't know how closely you guys follow what I do on Emotionally 14, but I've got a video series about HeroClix. And
The things the other day.
Yeah, so there's a video about the John Constantine, which is the one I've been trying to get for, I mean, it's over a year now until I actually finally got it, and that one, I don't care if I got the entire collection, that one is staying with me for as long as physically possible because of how much trouble and how much expense I went to get it.
Definitely.
But I think that's half the joy, especially the vintage, is when you finally get this figure that you've been looking for ages, you get such a sense of achievement out of it.
That's true, yeah, I totally agree.
You know, I'm a hoarder, I've got books galore, and I've got certain books that are never going to leave my, you know, wherever else happens. I could be sleeping outside Chatham High Street Cinema or something, not there anymore, but something like that, and I'd have this book that I'll hug, because it's just part of your history, and it's just something that you enjoy.
Yeah, totally. I totally relate to that. So I think Episode Zero seems like as good a place as any to get my most shameful Star Wars secret out into the open, which is that I let a huge bundle of original series figures go. Must have been 12 years ago for a ridiculously cheap amount of money. So basically what it was, a friend of mine I worked with had... he was building up... What he would do is he would build up play sets... which contained a series of figures that were kind of related. So he might pick up the Ewok Village playset cheap without the figures, and then he'd source the figures from elsewhere and put it all together and sell it off as a large bundle. And I had a ton of stuff like that, which was just gathering dust, you know, because I was past the point at that stage where I was playing with things on a regular basis. Or rather, I hadn't got past that point, but it was more I'd switched what I was playing to sort of video games most commonly. So... I said to him, oh, you know, I've got some Star Wars figures I can part with, but, you know, we worked out a deal, and I think about a week later, he turned around and said, oh, thanks for, you know, sorting me out that deal. I managed to sell that, I think it was the Ewok Village playset for, he gave me the amount, and I instantly twigged, that's more than he paid me for my whole set. Since then, I've been more shrewd, but unfortunately, that wasn't the case that first time, but... Yes, I thought I'd get that out of the way, you know. This is why I'm the moderator rather than the expert.
Well, I've got two particularly shameful figures that were given away over the years. I had a carded R2-D2 from the original run. So when Star Wars was just Star Wars, and probably, I thought we only had six, but there may have been 12 on the back.
Yeah.
I had that for the entire time. That's probably worth a fair amount of money. And
probably.
I had a Boba Fett, still carded Boba Fett, with a free Admiral Ackbar figure from Revenge of the Jedi, and that was still carded.
Oh,
and And I just kind of think, I'm pretty sure that's not gone to a good home.
No, almost certainly not. This is the sad thing. You have to kind of let those things go, I guess.
You do. You let it go. And people talk about your figures you had when you were a kid. Yeah. You know, and the £5,000 for the Death Star and all these kind of things. People say, oh, don't you wish you just left it in the box? And no, because whatever money that collection would have been worth, now, I got more than that out of it when I played with it as a kid.
Indeed.
Probably for the 10 years I was playing with it. There is no money that could have paid for the joy that I had. And Steve, you know, Steve from, you know, of Naked Steve fame, played with Star Wars figures. He was closed at the time for years.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean, Steve, yeah, history has shown Steve has not always been a naked man. This is just one of those things he's accumulated over the years on Talk Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mark, are you a carded man or a non-carded man when it comes to your collectible stuff?
I'm just, as I said, I'm just starting the loose run, but I was a carded person. I've sold all but two of them.
Okay.
I'm starting the loose.
All right, nice. So the loose is the old vintage stuff.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
Okay. Great stuff.
You said
I think they display better. The weapon. Do you say the weapons?
Yeah. You said to find the weapons. The non-repro weapons.
Yeah. You see, I when I first started collecting, you know, last year, I asked on Twitter people about the repro weapons, and I was shot down. How dare I even mention them?
No, you don't have repro weapons. That's a big no.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, but what is it with the repro weapons that everyone hates so much? I'm sorry, because I'm a bit of a novice in the
thing. It's, you've got to have the originals.
I've seen people with armies of stormtroopers, there are 100 stormtroopers, and they've all got weapons. They can't possibly all be the original weapons. Whatever these people like to say, because you lose the weapons, they get hoovered up, and then they just stand there and you say pew at each
that's
other.
That's why it's so expensive. And Princess Leia blasting can go for about £60.
Really?
Yeah.
Or about £2 for a repro one.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Well, I think we've got a good understanding. People listening will get a good idea of what this project is all about. So I think that about wraps it up for episode zero. So thank you to Jeremy. And
thank you.
Thank you to Mark. So guys, this is the opportunity where you have a chance to plug your respective social media endeavors. So Jeremy, let's start with yourself.
I am just Jeremy at Talk Star Wars on Twitter, and that's about my lot, really.
No, fair enough. That's absolutely fine. not everybody has to have as many accounts to manage.
I might be on Instagram, but I can't remember what I'd be.
Okay. Well, we can always drop it in the show notes if we discover it later on, so that's easily done. And Mark, what about yourself?
It's Blue Harvest Vintage on Facebook and at Blue Harvest UK on Twitter.
Nice. And obviously, if you want to purchase something from the good folks at Blue Harvest, then you can go to the aforementioned Facebook page and Twitter. Or is the website still the same URL, Mark?
No, the website's shut down now.
All right, so it's Facebook and Twitter. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So you can reach out to them there, and obviously, if you tell them Talk Star Wars sent you, they will look after you well. I'll say that.
So, do you?
Oh my!
We got to the very, very end.
We're doing so well. We're doing so well. It's just all derailed. Obviously, you can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision, and obviously, you can find everything we do collectively at talkstarwars.co.uk, where you can find out about all the different shows on the TSW as part of the TSW family. You can also become one of our VIPs, in which case episodes like this will come to your ears a lot earlier. So thank you very much, guys, for joining me. And
look forward
to the TSW Toy Box coming soon to a podcast feed near you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's a wrap!
It's a wrap.